We'll begin with a prayer. Lord Jesus, we ask that you be with us now and guide us by your Holy Spirit. Strengthen us as we study your word and give us the comfort that you would have us to have as we walk through this very dangerous world, these final days, which are so dangerous that if it were possible, the very elect would be lost. I pray this in your name. Amen. Now, looking back over the years, when I was born into the world, the country was involved in World War II, which, at least up to that point, was the most tragic and widespread war that the world had ever seen. It was a very dangerous situation, and spiritually, my own situation was even worse. Conceived and born in sin, had no future to look forward to except suffering forever in hell. Marrying a wife, nothing to look forward to without Christ and children, same sort of thing. Then hear that Jesus Christ came into the world to change all that, suffered and died for my sin, the sins of my family. Instead of a real tragedy, we've got a glorious future to look forward to. Members of the kingdom of Jesus Christ, which he spreads by the preaching of his word, a very odd way of doing it, but that's how he does it. We find ourselves sitting here today with one blessing after the other, looking forward to the time when he's going to come again and give us a complete deliverance from the devil and all of his wicked ones. I'd like to begin by welcoming those of you who are worshiping with us via the tapes and the CDs and the speakerphone. Service this evening coming from the Village Hall here in Coon Valley again. We're having one of my favorite kind of a day. It's a day with thunder and lightning and a little bit of rain and a little bit of sunshine, I guess. One of those days that's typical of Wisconsin. A beautiful, beautiful day. And we're thankful that we can share with you what the Lord has given us through his Holy Spirit. The text today is in Revelation chapter 9. I'd like you to open your Bibles to that verse, chapter. We're going to be looking at the first part of the blowing of the fifth trumpet. And verses we're looking at are Revelation chapter 9, verses 1 through 6. As I was studying the text, my thought went back to last year during our nature retreat, when we had the opportunity of studying perhaps the greatest monument that has ever been built on the face of the planet Earth. The Great Pyramid, which is located on the pyramid of on the plateau of Giza down in Egypt. It's one of the seven wonders of the ancient world, the greatest of the seven, and the only one still standing. We learned there that the door to that pyramid was very cleverly concealed. For hundreds of years, nobody actually found it. And then finally, when they did, it led to a passage which is called the Descending Passage. It goes down for a distance of 345 feet. It ends up 100 feet below the surface of the ground. And at the bottom of that passage, there's a natural pit put there by God, not manufactured by man, the depth of which has never been found. It's called the bottomless pit. I was reminded of that when I studied the text for today. Remember the ending of Revelation chapter 8. And I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, "Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels, which are yet to sound." You remember that there was this throne in heaven, surrounded by the beautiful emerald rainbow. And on that throne, the Almighty God was sitting holding a book or a scroll, which was sealed with seven seals. That scroll was a title deed to the earth and the whole creation, which had been usurped by the devil and his wicked ones. No one was found worthy to take the book and open the seals until the Son of God came in the form of a lamb as it had been slain. He purchased this creation with his own blood, and he has the right to take the book and open the seals. So he does, and the seals are opened one by one. When the seventh seal is opened, all of a sudden John sees seven angels, and to these angels are given trumpets. And one by one, the trumpets start to be blown. Well, we've heard the first four already and saw what havoc they caused in the world. And now the final three are going to be sounded. And woe, 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 one for each of the three trumpets. Because the worst three, the last three, are going to be worse than the first four. We're getting into some terrible, terrible judgments here. The verses we're going to be looking at this evening are 1 through 6. They read this way. And I saw, and the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth. And to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit as the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should torment them. They should be tormented 5 months, and their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. And in those days shall men seek death, and shall not find it. And they shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. The book of Revelation has been likened unto a gigantic jigsaw puzzle. When you first try to put it together, it seems a hopeless and impossible task. But once you find a few of the key pieces that fit together, gradually it becomes easier and easier. And finally the whole thing falls together and a beautiful picture emerges. We look at verse 1. And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. The way of getting at a verse like this is the way you've been taught. Get a concordance, open it up, and check and see how the Holy Spirit uses these words in the other part of Scripture. You can't hope to understand Revelation without understanding all of the books of the Bible that come before it. It's not an isolated book. It's connected. So you look up the word star, which we've done already in previous sermons, so we're not going to go over all of that ground again. But you find that stars are rather prominent in the Word of God, used in many different ways. One of the ways is this, that sometimes stars in heaven portray very important people. And these people can be important either in the realm of good or in the realm of evil. One example of this would be Numbers chapter 24, verse 17, which says, "There shall come a star out of Jacob." I believe the King James translation, if I'm not mistaken, capitalizes the word star, capital S. It refers to a person. And that star refers to Jesus Christ. Well, the star that's here in Revelation chapter 9, verse 1 refers to a person also. Only this time a very great person, a being for evil. It refers to the devil. Here in Revelation 9, the star that fell from heaven unto the earth is Satan. Remember in chapter 8, verse 10, the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp. We studied that before. Satan being cast out of heaven down into the earth. And in the whole context, as Revelation, the section we're in, relates to the 24th chapter of Matthew, where Jesus Christ is giving us signs of his coming in the end of the world, and the prominence of the false prophets, this whole thing fits in very, very well. This angel, the star that fell from heaven unto the earth, was given a key. Now, a key is something that either locks or it unlocks. Jesus Christ has already told us that he has the keys of heaven and hell. Here he gives the key to the bottomless pit to the devil. Now, the bottomless pit is probably the easiest thing to understand in the whole chapter. There's no question what it refers to. The bottomless pit. The Greek word is abyssus. Our English word abyss comes from it. It's a picture of hell, if ever there was one. But I believe, if I'm counting correctly, the term bottomless pit occurs 9 times. The word abyss. 9 times in the New Testament. 9 times is kind of a special number, the number 9. It kind of relates to the number 10 in a certain way. 10 is a number of completeness, so is number 9, among other meanings. But in 10, you can have 10 things that are representative of the whole ball of wax. 9 seems to be the totality of everything. There's a real odd saying in our day and age. It has to come back to this, I believe. And the saying is the whole 9 yards. You got the whole 9 yards. I mean, you got everything. You got all of it. It's a football analogy, which is kind of odd, because in football, if you're going to get first down, you got to go 10 yards. This saying is the whole 9 yards. It relates right to Scripture. It's the whole ball of wax. That's what it is. And that's the number of the word abyss. It's used one time in Luke chapter 8, verse 31, where Jesus cast the devils out of a man, and they said, they besought him that he would not command them to go into the deep. The word of deep is the word abyss. It's the same word that we find here in Revelation. So the devil, the star that fell from heaven unto the earth, to him was given the key to the bottomless pit. He's going to open it. He's going to open the door. Now, verses 2 and 3. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit as the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air, could be translated sky, the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth. And unto them was given power as the scorpions of the earth have power. Well, the whole context of this, as we're relating it to Matthew 24, is false prophets. And the false prophets are legion. There's a ton of them. I don't know if there's a better designation or picture of false prophets in the whole Scripture than locusts. They're without number. A plague of locusts totally destroys everything. Those who have seen how this works tell us that you cannot begin to imagine the destruction of locusts. unless you've been involved in a plague of locusts and you've seen some of the destruction that they work. I never have, but it's not a pleasant situation. Now, the locusts which come out of the pit are pictures of the false prophets. And the smoke, beautiful picture of the doctrines which they teach, which hides things. Here it obscures the light of the sun and the sky. We looked at the sun last week. Psalm 19 refers to the sun, the S-U-N, as being a beautiful picture of the S-O-N, Son of God, the bridegroom. And this is the game of the false prophets. They darken the light of the sun. They darken the sky. Talked about the stars in heaven. They were put there to be signs. Let them be for signs and seasons, days and years, the signs of the Son of God. The whole picture of the gospel of Jesus Christ is in the heavens. The gospel and the star. The locusts spread this smoke, and it covers them also. This has always been the devil's game. Obscure the light of the Word of God. Think of what that means. You take away the Word of God, and there's no hope for any of us. No hope for any of us. The good news comes through the Word of God. You take that away, we're all lost. That's why the devil attacks us so hard. The sun and star in the sky was darkened. The smoke was as the smoke of a great furnace. Get your concordance out. First occurrences in Scripture are usually very, very important. And the first time the word smoke occurs is back in Genesis chapter 19, verse 28. And interestingly enough, the same terminology as the smoke of a furnace. The Holy Spirit can't make it any plainer than this. Genesis 19:28, and he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah and toward all the land of the plain and beheld, and lo, the smoke of the country went up as the smoke of a furnace. What kind of smoke was he talking about? This was God's judgment on Sodom and Gomorrah. For the sin of sodomy, the homosexuals. Same sin which we see rampant in our own country right now and in all the world. And God's judgment came down upon it, destroyed it with fire and brimstone, and the smoke was as the smoke of a furnace going up. It was the same kind of smoke here. This smoke, remember, is God's judgment. Let's not forget that. Let's never forget that. We'll get that in a minute. It's God's judgment. You and I don't have to be afraid of it. Now, locusts. Get out your concordance. Look up the word locusts. How does God use that word? And ironically enough, and surprisingly enough, it's used in a good sense as well as a bad sense. Locusts were ceremonially clean in the Old Testament. The Jews were allowed to eat locusts. And in fact, there's a very famous and well-known New Testament person who ate locusts and wild honey. It was John the Baptist. So in a few senses, locusts are used in a good way. God's true prophets are a real blessing to his church. And they feed the sheep. But locusts are also used in another way. We're going to look at the word locusts, God willing, closer next week and going deeply into it. But here the locusts were a symbol of the false prophets, and they were given power as scorpions of the earth have power. You look up the word scorpions in your concordance. What is the Holy Spirit trying to tell us here? And we don't have to guess. The word scorpions occurs in the Bible 11 times. 11 is a very evil and wicked number in Scripture. 10 is the number of completeness. 11 adds to it. 12 is the number of God's rule. There were 12 tribes of Israel. Jesus chose 12 apostles. 11 takes away from it. This is always the devil's game. This is how he does it. He adds to the word. He takes away from the word. Now, we have to be able to spot that. When the false prophets add to the word of God, that's relatively easy to spot. It is not easy to spot when they take away from the word. You can sit at the feet of a false prophet for 50 years and listen to his sermons and never hear one thing that you disagree with. It's what you're not hearing that's important. You have to know that. How are you going to know it? The only way you can know it is if you're in Scripture yourself. And then it's going to be plain to you. It'll be plain to you. But only then. The number 11 designates disorder and chaos. The first occurrence of it, and remember, first occurrences in the Bible are very important. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 15, who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness. That's a picture of this world. Wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions. That's what we're looking at, scorpions. They're mentioned in the same breath with fiery serpents. Fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the flint, of the rock of flint. Let them be for signs. The third sign in the zodiac is the sign of Scorpio. Picture of an angry serpent with his tail raised, ready to strike. Arch enemy of God and his people. Wounding, conflict, warfare. That's what you think of in Scripture when you see the word scorpion. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. This shows us conclusively that the scorpions here and the locusts that we're looking at, are not to be taken in a literal way. Because what they're commanded not to do is the very thing that they do. Don't harm the grass, any green thing, or any tree. Well, anybody that's at all familiar with Scripture knows that down in the land of Egypt, one of the plagues there was a plague of locusts. Listen to what they did, Exodus 10. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand over the land of Egypt, for the locusts, that they may come upon the land of Egypt and eat every herb of the land, even all that the hail hath left. God was judging Egypt. And the hail came down and wiped out a ton of their crop. What was left now, the locusts were going to devour. And Moses stretched forth his rod over the land of Egypt, and the Lord brought an east wind upon the land all that day and all that night. And when it was morning, the east wind brought the locusts. And the locusts went up over all the land of Egypt and rested in all the coasts of Egypt. Very grievous were they. Before them there was no such locust as they, neither after them shall there be such. For they covered the face of the whole earth, so that the land was darkened, and they did eat every herb of the land and all the fruit of the trees which the hail had left, and there remained not any green thing in the trees or in the herbs of the field through all the land of Egypt. Green is the color of life in the Bible. The throne was surrounded by that beautiful emerald rainbow. Here, after that plague of the locusts, there wasn't one lousy piece of green grass that you could find from the beginning of Egypt to the end of it. Nothing. No sign of life at all. That was child's play compared to what we're looking at here. The deadly effect of the false doctrines taught by the false prophets. This is terrible. But notice, they were only to affect those men who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads. There wasn't one elect child of God that was hurt by this. Remember, the angels are blowing these trumpets because the Son of God commands them to blow the trumpet. And this is the Son of God driving out the devil and his wicked ones. He's reclaiming the whole creation for his own people. Remember, got to remember that. This is good news we're talking about here. We should be excited about this. A man one time planted good seed in his field. While men slept in the darkness of night, an enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat. And when the plants came up, the people looked, and lo, there were tares among the wheat. They came to the owner of the field and said, didn't you sow good seeds? That's right. Well, how'd the tares get here? An enemy hath done this. Shall we pull them out? No, wait. Unless you hurt some of the elect with the tares. Wait till the final harvest. Let's picture the final harvest. We're in these last days where the final harvest is taking place. Son of God is getting rid of the tares. That's why the locusts are coming. There are hypocrites in the outward church. Claim to be children of God and they're really not. They play fast and loose with God's word. They're going to pay a price for it. False prophets are going to mislead them and get them out. That's good news. That is really good news. Verse 5, to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months. And their torment was that of the torment of a scorpion when it strikes a man. It is not so easy to determine the spiritual damage that the false prophets do. It's much easier to see the physical persecution and what results from that. When God's people are physically persecuted and killed and beheaded and everything else, you see that happening and you see death involved. In the spiritual world, you don't see it quite as easily. But it's worse. An ancient heathen writer said this. And I wasn't even Christian. It's a heathen writer said, there is no torment known to man that exceeds the pain caused by a bad conscience. And the only way that you can get rid of a bad conscience is to believe the word of God that Jesus Christ died on the cross for the forgiveness of your sins and you're forgiven. Nothing else is going to do it. And these locusts come and their smoke obscures the light of the sun and it obscures the light of the stars and it's obscuring the word of God and the danger here is eternal. It's like the sting of a scorpion. And it hurts. The terrible thing. The despair that the children of the devil feel. Judas Iscariot betrayed the Son of God for 30 pieces of silver and ended up taking his own life. Why? Not because he betrayed Christ. You and I have done that. But he didn't believe. Didn't believe the Son of God would die for his sin. And it caused despair. Terrible, terrible thing. Shakespeare, in his soliloquy of Hamlet, says this, talks about the dread of something after death that makes us rather bear those ills we have than fly to others that we know not of. For the heathen people, as bad as it can get on this earth, It's nothing compared to what lies ahead in the world to come. And when in despair, like Judas, their situation is so bad that they feel they just can't bear it, and they take their life to try to get out of it, it's like jumping from the frying pan into the fire. It just gets worse and worse and worse. And it's because they don't believe. It's because the Word of God has been darkened to them. Now they're being hit like the sting of a scorpion. 5 months it lasted. I guess it's a fact that locusts live for 5 months. And that's as long as the plague lives. Maybe true, maybe not. I guess it's probably true. But I know this for sure, that five in Scripture is the number of grace. And so as you and I, as children of God, look at this plague of locusts, this terrible thing which lasts for 5 months. Man, there's a blessing in this for us. The old professor, the old seminary professor was right. There is grace involved in everything that happens. This is the Son of God fighting against his enemies. He spoke to them in parables. Why do you speak to them in parables? Because seeing they see not, and hearing they hear not. And I'm coming in judgment upon them, and I am hiding the truth from them. To you it is given to know the truths of the kingdom of God. But it's going to be hidden from them. That's exactly what's happening here. And in those days shall men seek death and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, but death shall flee from them. It would be a blessing, an easy thing for the children of the devil if they'd be blown to oblivion. That's not going to happen. They're going to exist forever in hell, forever suffering the wrath of God, like the sting of a scorpion. I don't know who said this. I don't know how you could prove it. But the quote is this: the pain from the scorpion is the intensest pain that can be inflicted on a human body. I don't know if that's true or if it isn't. I don't know how you'd even measure that. But whether it's true or whether it's not, one thing is clear. When you get stung by the tail of a scorpion, it hurts. It really, really hurts. This is one of the many places in Scripture that indicate to us very, very clearly that false doctrine comes directly from the pit of hell. It is orchestrated in hell. The false doctrines come, the false doctrines and the false prophets come from the devil down in a fiery pit. And there's no greater danger that we have, because their number is legion. And the smoke of their teaching obscures the sun and the stars. God willing, we'll continue this study next week.